You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Monday. We are back for the week. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. And we had a press conference earlier today with Mike Sainristil and Taylor Upshaw. And I thought it was really interesting, some of the intel that we got from Taylor Upshaw. Like, normally when we ask, like, I've noticed this in general. And, like, whenever we ask, like, okay, what's this like? What's that like? You know, how's the new defense? What's the role like that you're doing now? Who's standing out? Kind of get the same answers constantly, right? We kind of get the, everyone's really standing out. And then if you ask about specific guys, it's always, well, those guys are doing great. You know, you don't get like anything from it anymore. It's all very generic. It's not what happened today. We talked to Taylor Upshaw, and he was asked, what does this new defense look like? What's your role in it? Who's all been involved there? What do you do in it? All of that stuff. We got a lot of answers. We're going to listen to it here in a moment, but we got to hear about how essentially he's playing outside linebacker. We heard everyone that's playing outside linebacker. We found out that Sean Nua is not the one that's specifically coaching him. It's defensive analyst Ryan Osborne is working with these outside linebackers. And they call themselves the Reapers. That's not the official term. That's the inside the building what they call themselves. It's not like the Viper, right? It's not like, well, it's a linebacker, but, we have nicknamed ourselves the Viper. No, it's, that's not what the case was there. That was the name of the position. This outside linebacker position is what they're calling themselves. And now we also know that, you've got a couple guys that are in that position. Aiden Hutchinson, Jalen Harrell, David Ajabo. So now things are coming into focus a little bit with that defense. Let's listen to Taylor Upshaw actually talk about these things directly so you can hear it. And then we'll talk about it a little bit more here in a moment.
Taylor, I was wondering your assessment of this basically new defensive staff and how was it good for you to see Nua come back and have that continuity for you?
Absolutely. The reality is, Nua is more like a D tackles coach right now. So Coach Osborne's really our main guy. But I'm happy he's back, and I'm happy with the way, I'm happy with the defensive coordinator and my coach. They're younger guys. They understand what it's like being in the position we're in. So, it's a blessing.
What do you mean they understand the position you're in? I mean, just because of their youth, or
I definitely think youth is a big part. I mean, when you're 30, you're closer to understanding what it's like being a 21-year-old than compared to when you're older. So, they're young guys, they're bringing juice, and they're making it fun.
Our next question for you here is from Orion.
Hey, Taylor, you mentioned Coach Osborne has been your main position coach. I was curious for your first impression of him and, what is he like as a coach?
Honestly, Oz is one of the best coaches I've had a chance to play under. He's young, he's funny. He gets what it's like I said earlier, being in the position we're in. But also that he knows what he's talking about. He's a good coach. And you can tell just with his passion and, that he's the things he's getting us right with our technique. I mean, he's legit. So I'm happy he's with us.
And then to follow up, who all is in that room with you, and you know, what's the terminology? What do you guys call yourselves?
So the people we have in the room, Aiden, myself, David Ojabo, Jalen Harrell, Braden McGregor, Nolan Knight, and I think I got all of them. But yeah, those are the guys in our room, including myself. And we call ourselves the Reapers, you know, because this is a really important defense. Position we play allows us to make a lot of plays. So I think it's going to come down to a lot of games. We're going to have to affect the game a lot.
So that's the name for the position in the defense, Reapers?
Oh, I mean, that's what we call ourselves, but I mean, okay. We're all linebackers.
Okay. Okay. Thanks.
Next question is from Austin.
Yeah, just to follow up on that, can you sort of describe what that role entails and how it's different from what you did last year? Are you standing up more, coming off the edge? Just describe the position a little bit.
Well, it's mainly a stand-up edge position. For me, I'm mainly going to be rushing. But, you know, there's also dropping too. So it's like a pass rush, you know, but you're also – I still get in my three-point stance, you know, I still mix it up, but you know, it's a stand up edge position.
All right. So I find that fascinating. And I think it's pretty cool that we now at least kind of have an idea of what one of the linebacker positions looks like. We have some clarity as to what this defense might look like a little bit. So we are going to talk about it. I don't know how much length. I don't know how much I have to say about it, but we'll see, I guess. And then we're going to get into, I dropped 10 bold predictions, spring edition today. We are going to get into that here as well to fill some of the time, because I was thinking about it while I was on a long walk with Zuri, and I'm like, you know what? It's time to redo. I like to do them like every 3 months or so. Because the information changes and it's always good to revisit what you had before. All right, but first, betonline.ag. It is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA is still going, NHL, Major League Baseball. And hey, tonight is the national championship game between Baylor and Gonzaga. I'm just so used to Villanova being that good. BetOnline even covers award shows, TV shows, reality TV, real-time updated odds, props on almost anything that you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for almost all the news, the scores, and the odds. It's the best way to place your bets. And guess what? It's free to sign up. So head over to betonline.ag to sign up today. Use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, so I think that's all really interesting. So, like I said before, we don't know Nolan Knight, right? Because he's a walk-on type, but we obviously know about Taylor Upshaw, we know about Aiden, we know David Ojabo, Jalen Harrell, Braden McGregor. We know those guys. So I'm really curious to see what that looks like a little bit more, because I mean, obviously that other end. I mean, you're looking at. I mean, there's not a ton of ends necessarily outside of those guys, but, you know, didn't mention Gabe Newberg, who's obviously and clearly an end. Trying to think of the others right now, because now it just kind of is like, well, who else is there other than Gabe Newberg? Nonetheless, it provides some clarity that they might be going with some bigger body types up front, maybe. You know, maybe a guy like Julius Welshoff is a little bit more of an end type. I mean, he was brought in as an end and he converted to defensive tackle, but he still doesn't have that typical defensive tackle look. Maybe Chris Hinton, you know, maybe the front ends up being, as far as that middle guy, that nose guy, it would make sense if it's a guy like Jeter, or it would make sense if a guy like Mazi Smith, you know what I mean? One of the big space eater type guys. So then you can kind of do whatever you want with those other two. Like, you know, you could say like, all right, we're going to put a guy like Gabe Newberg on the one end, and then we'll have our Donovan Jeter in the middle and Chris Hinton next to him. I think that's interesting to try to figure out exactly what that's going to mean. And then as far as the other linebacker positions, we already know Josh Ross is playing in the middle. It seems like Michael Barrett is still a linebacker type, not a safety. So you've got those two. And then for the other outside linebacker, you got to assume that you still are working with a Anthony Solomon type guy. So I don't know. A little bit of clarity. I think that's all I really have to say on that. I don't feel like I need to go too much further. So let's talk a bit about this, my 10 football bold predictions for 2021, the spring edition. Let's get into that. So I will share the first five now and the next five in the next one. So I'll talk about my reasoning. You can read it and see a little bit more about it, but we'll go through it and I'll give you kind of my reasoning for it. So number one, I said Michigan's defense will have a big rebound. I don't think it's a stretch at all, right? Because they were 84th out of 100 and something teams. Normally it's 130. I think it was 128 teams played last year. So bottom half, not where you expect Michigan's defense. And the guys that that played, I mean, they've all been a part of, if they were only around for one other year, and as far as key contributors, everyone had played the year before, they were part of the number 11 defense. I just feel like the whole reverting to the mean is going to happen a little bit. And I understand it's not Don Brown coaching. Y'all know my feelings on why that wasn't working out, if you've listened to this podcast. And I think it was evident last year when you look at Wisconsin and Rutgers being able to figure out, okay, Michigan's showing pressure. We know the pressure's coming from there, and we're going to go the other way. Or Michigan might be pressure, you know, just keep on going away from it. Michigan had a lot of tells outside of the play calling itself on defense, and it seemed like some teams just made them pay constantly. That's, to me, is why they lost to Wisconsin. Not because Wisconsin was head and shoulders better. It was because Michigan's defense was so predictable. Wisconsin, with those end arounds, just kept on going away from the pressure. And Michigan, just they'd get close, but just not enough. They were being anticipated. And I think we're going to see, with the new defensive coordinator and everything, I think that you're going to just see a little bit more kind of what things looked like in 2015 when DJ Durkin came to town. Or 2016 when Don Brown came to town, where it's like they're going to get you up front. They just are. You're not going to have a lot of time to do anything. Now, will some teams, here's the other thing. Michigan, if they are in fact in like a 3-4 type instead of a 4-2-6 or 4-3, however you want to look at Don Brown's defense, I think by virtue of being as multiple as this group will be, I think that teams aren't necessarily going to just be able to do what they did against Michigan's defense last year, which was get rid of the ball in 2 seconds. I think you're going to have to account for a lot. I think this is going to be more complex. Because here's the thing, whenever we heard about Don Brown's defense, we often heard, like, yeah, it's really not that complex from the players. Like, I was kind of surprised when you hear that. You think, like, oh, it's really complex. And they'd be like, no, it's not really that complex. I feel like this is going to be a lot more complex, especially because we've heard, you know, a lot of these guys, especially the guys who aren't a part of the system, the guys who are moving on to the NFL, say, hey, you know what? I wish I would have been in this system before, because they're doing the stuff I'm learning now. I think that'll play a big difference ultimately. So when I say a big rebound, do I mean, will they get back up to the top 10? No, I'm not predicting that. I'm not saying that it can't happen, but I mean, we've seen it happen going from Greg Robinson to Greg Madison back from 2010 to 2011, went from being statistically one of the worst defenses to being somewhere in the top 20, I believe. It can happen. I think they've got the players to do it, but I'm going to be more modest about it. Could they become like a top 30 defense? Move up 50 spots? I think they can. I think they've got the players to do it. Number two, this one seems pretty obvious to me as well. Cornelius Johnson steps into Nico Collins' shoes. He's got everything Nico Collins has, and now he has the experience. Nico Collins for as much as we liked him before, I mean, it was really more, I mean, yeah, it was Donovan and Nico in 2018 in their second year. But it really was more Donovan still to some degree. And we saw some Nico. And then it kind of after that was like, get the ball to Nico Collins. Nico is the best one. Because you remember 2018, actually. No, I've got some things wrong. I was thinking 2019. But 2019, Roddy Bell, Nico Collins, those were your two guys. Nico could take a game over. And that was this was 2019, so this was his third year. I kind of think that Cornelius Johnson now kind of can step into that role. Stretch the field. Be that big time, go up and get it guy. We saw it last year. He's just kind of started getting into the rhythm. Numbers not quite what Nico's were as far as yards per catch, but I think he'll get there. If he has a quarterback that can get it to him, he'll get there. Next, I think you'll see three running backs get significant playing time. You know who those threes are, but I think the rotation will be smarter just by virtue of learning. And I think they'll go back to kind of more what it looked like before. And I brought up like 2015. Who was your running backs? I mean, they had more than this, but in 2015, Davion Smith was your main guy. You also went to Drake Johnson. You also went to Ty Isaac. 2016. They had a lot of those same guys, no Drake Johnson anymore. But, I mean, it was still Davion Smith, and then Chris Evans becomes the number two. And then your number three, see, I wrote this down, and I'm forgetting all of a sudden. Caron Higdon. Caron Higdon becomes more of a guy. 2017, Evans starts the year. Isaac gets some starts after that. Then Higdon rides it and rides it all the way into 2018. 2018, Higdon, Evans, Wilson. 2019, Zach Charbonnet. Eventually Hassan Haskins as well. Drew Wilson. 2020 becomes, well, there's not really a one guy. It's four guys, and they'll play whenever they play. I think this year you're going to see it's going to be Hassan Haskins. I think he's earned the right to be the number one back. Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards. No offense to any of the other guys that are on the roster. There are some. Obviously, Tavier Dunlap is a part of it. And they're not going to be the only ones that see carries, right? Like, people are going to complain when they see beyond those three, but every team has always had, you know, multiple guys get out there, you know. Someone just comes in for a couple. Like, we saw Kareem Walker every now and again get in there. Derek Green still played in 2015, you know what I mean? Ty Isaac still played in 2016, even though he wasn't nearly utilized like he was the year before or the year after, per se. So I think you're going to see those guys be the main ones. I think your change of pace is going to be Blake Corum, and I think they're just going to find ways to work in Donovan Edwards whenever. Whether it's third down, different situations, you know, like split out because he can do so many things, they're going to want to use him. So with that in mind, my number four is Donovan Edwards will come on strong throughout the season, and I think that's because Michigan has a weapon that it has to get on the field. But it doesn't. I think they're going to be smart about it. I don't think that they're going to look at it as we need to take away from someone else to get him out there. I think they're going to look at a lot of situations and just have plays for him, whether it's running plays, passing plays. You know, he can do other things. We can do wildcat quarterback. I know all of you are going to already preemptively get mad at the Donovan cat, but it's probably going to happen. I'm telling you, if the Haskins cat or the Hassan cat, however we want to call it, can happen, I think the Donovan Edwards cat is going to happen as well. They'll find a way to get him out on the field. Number five, and then we'll go to break. No matter who seems to be in the lead at quarterback after the spring, they will be challenged in the fall, and y'all know why. Alan Bowman. Now, like, I know people are excited about J.J. McCarthy, and he's a five-star. He has an opportunity. Cade McNamara, incumbent quarterback, the returning starter. And I think that we don't give him nearly as much credit as we should. But at the same time, Cade McNamara has one start under his belt. This thing is wide open right now. Cade McNamara has one start, but 3 years in the system. JJ McCarthy is supposed to be next level, and I think he will be. Alan Bowman comes in the fall, and he's got almost a mile's worth of yards. When I say a mile's worth, I'm talking the number, not I have that wrong, but no, you know what I mean. He's 5280 feet in a mile, and it's 5260 yards that he's thrown in just over 2 years as the starter for Texas Tech. Now, I put the caveat in there, like, listen, the defenses that he went up in the Big 12 are not the same as what he'd see in the Big 10, but this guy is used to completing passes at a 60% clip. We'll see. I just think that, like, if we emerge from this and it's from spring ball and it's like, yep, Cade's job, kind of like we did with Wilton Spate. I know that only really Steve Lorenz was the only one saying that and going into 2016 because everyone else was saying John O'Korn and he was like, no, it's Wilton Spate. He was all over that one. I think that I honestly think that regardless of what is thought in the spring, it's going to change completely in the fall. So there's that. All right, let's continue on here momentarily. But first, let's talk a little bit about Built Bar. Y'all know how much I love Built Bar. If you don't know about Built Bar, it's a protein bar. I've been saying this lately. It's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It's that good. I almost want to say it's a candy bar that tastes like a protein bar. No, it's the opposite. Listen, they have so many great flavors from the almond coconut, the toffee almond, so many things that I absolutely love that they have to offer. And listen, it's high protein, low carb, low sugar, low calorie. Everything you want. I smash two of them at a time. They're that good. So with that in mind, go to builtbar.com, put in promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off that next order. Builtbar.com, LOCKED15. Trust me on it. All right, let's finish out. We've got five more here. I said the offensive line will remain steady. I think that that's a little bit of faith because, you know, Ed Warner is the one who turned the offensive line into what he turned it into. I have a lot of faith in Sharon Moore. He played the position. I think he's going to be really good. But I think the biggest reason why I have a lot of faith in it is because, listen, last year you had guys who had never played before that actually did a pretty good job. Took him a while, but Michigan, I believe, was tied for the least amount of sacks in the conference or something like that. Or maybe not tackles for loss, but sacks, you know. A little bit different with the run game. I'm going to look that up because they had something like that. So, sacks allowed. Yeah, they were number one, clearly. They only allowed 8. Granted, some other teams played more games, but so like if you go sacks per game, 1.33, they were second behind Indiana. But nonetheless, they were really good about that. As far as tackles for loss allowed, number one, actually. And that's both in tackles for loss per game as well as overall, 27 in 6 games, 4.5 a game. So, and not the entire band's coming back together, of course, because you lose Jalen Mayfield. But, I mean, you add Willie Allen, which I forgot to even mention in my article. He's already on campus. You keep Carson Barnhart, Ryan Hayes, Andrew Vistardis. Andrew Stuber, Trevor Keegan, Zach Zinter. You've got a lot of guys. I think this will be, I think they'll be able to just go in and just still do what they've been doing. I think the culture has been built. That's what I think. And I think it will continue to go that way. Did I mention Ryan Hayes? And I don't know who I mentioned, but I mentioned people. Number 7, 2 players with pass execution issues will step up in 2021. And that is Mike Sainristil and Eric Aull. In 2019, all we heard, these guys are good. These guys are ready. What happened? These guys were not ready. Eric all saw some time, but wasn't like a force. Mike Sainra still hit a freshman wall. Last year, Eric all's ready. The thing that we heard about him so much, surest hands on the team. And then he gets the drops. In case he gets some yips. Then Sainra still just doesn't quite seem like, he didn't quite seem like what we expected based off of everything we had heard. Listen, with Giles, and I didn't mention this in the article, but Giles gone, huge opportunity for Mike. He and Giles are essentially the same player. Same stature, similar speed. You can do a lot of the same stuff you intended to do with Giles with Mike. And I didn't even mention that in my one of these other points that I'm going to bring up here in a moment. I just think that they're ready. And that's just faith. I have no reason other than faith. But the whole thing is, for me, we've heard about these guys doing things on State Street for a long time. The biggest predictor of future success is what you do in practice. So if you're not doing it in practice, you're not going to do it in the game most of the time. That's like when people are like, just put in the next guy. Can't be worse. It's like, it can be. It's like, you know, but the Titanic cannot sink. I assure you she can. Vincent Garber. Victor Garber. Oh, so close. But that's kind of what I mean. They're doing it right in practice. They have an opportunity to do it in games. Number 8, another faith one. Daxon Hill will look the part of the 5-star. We saw flashes in his career here. Last year, there were times where he looked disinterested. I think he will be rejuvenated based off of the changes. I think he'll be a focal point. I think he's got all the physical tools. I think we've seen the mental tools work when he is interested. I think he will take that step forward. That's all I'm going to say about that. Faith. Faith is a fact. Wait, no, faith is a facet. That's a Arrested Development quote. Anyway, number 9, Michigan won't miss Giles Jackson. I still think his role is going to be taken up by multiple people, so it's not having one guy that does all that stuff. But I think that Michigan might even have an upgrade in some lights, because as far as speed is concerned, Roman Wilson, Andrell Anthony, Christian Dixon, and eventually Xavier Worthy all have that speed, and all of them are much taller. Andrell Anthony is 6'2". Remember, Giles Jackson's 5'9". Andrell Anthony is 6'2". Xavier Worthy's 6'1", I believe. Christian Dixon's 6'2". Roman Wilson is 6'. I think that you've got a lot of guys that can do a lot of things. I think Jackson is special, but I think that if you were going to lose one of those, like, if you're going to lose someone, lose it from a position where you've got a lot of bodies that can do a lot of things. I think they have a wealth of people there. Just the same thing as the running back. It's like, it sucks to lose Zach Charbonnet, but they've got a lot of running backs. Finally, the record will improve significantly, but the same historical issues will persist. That means I'm predicting Michigan to go 8-4, 9-3. I do not think they're going to be 5-7. I don't think they're going to be 6-6. I could see them going 7-5, but I don't think they will be. I think you have, I think with normal preparation, I think that the floor is 6-6. Because I think that they beat Western Michigan, Northern Illinois, Rutgers, Michigan State, Maryland, Northwestern, and Nebraska. So I actually have them 7. Now, that MSU game could be a flip. Northwestern loses a ton. I think they go from the most experienced team last year to they're going to be the least experienced again, I believe. Nebraska, I'm not afraid of. Rutgers is going to be better, but I still think Michigan is just way more talented. So that leaves Penn State, Wisconsin, Indiana, Ohio State, and Washington. So that's 5 games. I think Penn State and Wisconsin are vulnerable. Indiana brings back basically the whole team. They might win again. Maybe. This game is going to be in Ann Arbor. Ohio State, don't count on it. But that said, new quarterback, at some point, they're going to fall back down to earth. In the sense of, they're not going to get the best quarterback in school history. You know what I mean? At some point. Because they went Braxton Miller, JT. Well, they went Terrell Pryor to Braxton Miller to JT Barrett with Cardale Jones mixed in there, which, I mean, he had the best postseason for a guy that just kind of came out of nowhere, to Dwayne Haskins, to Justin Fields. At some point, they'll revert to the mean. That said, I think 8-4 is reasonable. I think that they'll beat one of Penn State or Wisconsin. Both are on the road, but I just think that Penn State just does not impress me. Wisconsin didn't either. And then I think, you know, we'll see what happens with Indiana, Ohio State, and Washington. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Still went 30 minutes. Wow. Took a long time. All right, well, we will be back tomorrow with something to talk about. Not sure yet. See what happens. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.